T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score. And now is the time. This is your opportunity. You can go to the Winter Classic. We're going to give you some tickets right now. Be the sixth caller to the Scores contest line, which is 312-591-6700. You will win a pair of tickets to see Kaner and Taser and the Blackhawks take on the Bruins. It's almost like a Stanley Cup final.
Almost.
They'll do it outdoors at Notre Dame Stadium in the Bridgestone NHL Winter Classic on January 1st. 2019. Next year.
Yeah, let's hope that the Hawks win a game before then.
Tickets are on sale now at NHL.com/winter classic tickets. And you poo-poo the value of wonderful things such as this. I got to tell you,
I'm not poo-pooing. No poo-poo.
You're going.
I'm going.
So you can.
Yes. I would not poo-poo something like that. I would not poo-poo the Pucks.
You are in. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, these tickets include a chance to talk to David Hall.
Do they?
No, I don't.
Somebody please tell me.
I'm just trying to sell him for you.
No, but I'll introduce you to my son.
There you go.
You
can meet a real hockey
father,
player.
Father-son moment. A real hockey player.
You can meet a winner.
Boy, the Hawks are tough. That's rough.
Poor Hawks.
Oh, man.
They are really, what is it now? Are they officially?
17 out of 20.
Are they officially the worst team in the league? Check the standings. I don't even want to look myself.
The worst team in the league, and I wonder if there's ever been a time when a city's had an NHL team and an NBA team be the worst in their respective leagues at the same time.
Well, the Bulls aren't quite there yet, are they?
They're getting there. They're getting there.
Right.
I mean, when you look at the standings.
They've made the change, and it's only been one game, and it was competitive, and I heard Jim Boylan say yesterday that they were competing again in terms of practice. So they've been competitive for 2 days running, which I'm guessing is a record.
I don't think you want a 2-day competitive streak. You want a win streak, not a days that you're willing to compete. The Hawks have 23 points. Okay, so there are teams that are worse than them.
Okay.
According to the standings, there's still a couple. Right. The Blues have 22 points.
So
the Kings at 21.
Okay.
But it's not a.
I thought they were officially.
Is not a long way to the bottom or the basement. And
no,
the Bulls,
third worst.
Bulls are, they're 5-20, and the Hawks are 5-20, and the Suns are 4-20.
See.
And so here we are contemplating a winter where both teams could be, by the end of the calendar year, the worst in their respective leagues. Has that happened before? I'm sure it has somewhere. Has it happened in Chicago before? I don't think so. Wow.
Yeah, it's hard to be the worst when you got the Suns and the Cavs out there and for you.
It's not that hard, Molly.
It's hard to be the worst. I don't know.
They're not that far away.
The Bulls, though, they didn't have Markkanen all season. They're without Chris Dunn. There's a little
excuses.
Bit of, they're not going to be
reasons,
all
reasons.
Of a sudden, but there are things that point to them being as bad as they have been.
The Blackhawks.
What's their excuse?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't seen the Jeremy Colleton bump yet. I know it's there, and I know it's coming.
But you haven't, and I think the Hawks will regret. I don't think they're going to look back and say they regret firing Joe Quenneville. I think that they feel like that was time.
They felt they had to.
Here's what they're going to regret. They're going to regret sitting there on the podium that day they introduced Jeremy Colleton and saying that this was a playoff team.
I could make them a champion overnight. I know exactly what to do.
Okay.
I can tell you the move.
How?
Move to Sweden. Get in that league. Don't you think?
He's one of the best coaches Sweden's ever seen.
He's the best coach in Sweden, and certainly their players would be better, no?
I think, they would have one goal. to be the best team in Sweden.
Sweden.
See, that's just
who would believe this? Sweden.
It's so mean. But I honestly believed.
You're on a roll today.
I was making a joke.
God, it's a good thing you're buying breakfast because you are one mean dude today.
You know what? I'm getting killed on the Twitter line for not showing enough empathy.
It's a text line.
Over the Twitter line.
It's a Twitter machine, the text line.
It was like a Twitter line. I'm getting killed on the text screen here because I didn't show enough empathy to Trey Burton. And all I said was that I didn't really understand stuff like that. And it just
I thought you were having
it creates a splinter in my mind. It's just too difficult for me to handle. It doesn't mean I'm not empathetic. It means I don't understand. And yet, therefore, ergo, I am an idiot.
And you're not criticizing that.
No.
You're just saying that
I'm
you
not criticizing
would,
at
you
all.
Prefer...
I have a lot of empathy for people that go through any sort of issue with their confidence or anything like that. I find it kind of, because I don't quite, because I know how debilitating it can be, I find it like, I'm gonna. I just don't know how to respond
to it. I find it kind of refreshing honesty from him. That's why it stood out to me, because rarely do you see a professional athlete, I think, be as honest about those kind of shortcomings.
Well, I told you. I mean, compared it to Kevin Love with his panic attack. I think that's good for people that go through that. It's good that people understand they're not alone. I think
it's relatable.
I think that it's important to understand that everyone goes through all sorts of difficulties and has to overcome adversity. Some of it is very obvious to all of us. Some of it you can see. Some of it is hidden. Some of it is deeply rooted in their psyche. I understand all that. I'm just saying I don't know how to deal with it. And I know we're in a society where everyone says take a medication. You'll feel happier.
And some people believe that this is nothing more than Trey Burton trying to be disingenuous and be a decoy, and it's all a ploy to kind of misdirect the Rams. I don't buy that either. He was too candid.
I love this text. The Sweden comparison sounds eerily similar to Trestman winning in Canada.
Oh, no.
That's mean.
That's mean and
that's
funny.
That's mean. That's not mean. What I said.
You did not get hockey Trestman.
I made a joke.
I thought they got hockey McVay, not hockey Trestman.
I'm whistling past the graveyard. That's all I'm doing. I don't know what you're up to.
It would be nice if the Hawks could get back on track. How do you think?
It would be fun if they could.
How do you think that these veterans, these guys who have won three cups, with this team wearing that sweater feel about this losing streak?
It's a great question, and so many of them were so good. In fact, all of them I learned something from that if I mention one of them, I'm going to leave out all of them. And if I try to mention all of them, I won't remember some, and I'll regret that.
I got to tell you something. That is just absolutely unbelievable. That guy was the head coach of the Bears.
Let me ask you as well, we were talking about the Hawks. So
2 years.
So now, if you're Stan Bowman and you're not the playoff team that you thought you were, is anybody on this roster untouchable as you begin the process of rebuilding? You know, this is where they are. This is where they have to be. They have to be honest about what they're doing and what they're not doing. Is Jonathan Toews a guy that you would trade for prospects? Is Corey Crawford a guy that you would trade for prospects? Duncan Keith is probably already a guy that you would consider trading.
Listen, you know, when you really,
I'm not even gonna say
if you really
Patrick
want,
Kane,
if you really want to talk about
that.
If you really want to talk about the Blackhawks, we all know what's going on. They have a core, and unfortunately, not the entire core is aging well. And so you've got some very highly compensated players that are virtually untradeable because of their contract, and that as a result, you can't get younger and better, and you can't rebuild in part because you've got a lot of guys that are heavyweight. And you know what? I got nothing but respect for everybody that was part of those championship teams. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Seabrook, you know, isn't earning his money and that Keith has seen better days and that Corey Crawford. I think everybody that watches it understands what's happening. And it's difficult to criticize guys that were, you know, an essential and crucial part of a glorious, wondrous time in Chicago.
That is tricky. It is.
That's it.
That's why I think it's such a foreign territory for them to be going through this.
I totally agree.
Yeah, they've lost 17 of the last 20 games.
That is really hard to believe, given how things used to be, given how you'd go out to a game and you'd be, you know, you just you, all you'd be hearing is
you assume
the Chelsea
that they
dagger.
Would win. They assume
goal
that they would score. You
goal.
Assume that you'd have fun.
Yeah,
this can't be any fun.
Yeah. So anyway, now I'm getting criticized for the way I responded to the earlier criticism.
Please stop reading the text line. Although it did make me chuckle when somebody says maybe David should put his fingers on Burton's chest to see if he's genuine.
Oh.
Mocking my Fred Hoiberg memory.
That's so awesome.
Mocking my tribute to Fred, the person.
God, that's
Thank
so
you,
awesome.
Texters.
Oh, my
Keep
God.
Keep us honest.
Yeah.
Keep us humble.
Keeping them honest. Wow.
I got killed for that story. You know, just
that was a very compelling story.
Yeah, okay. People are killing me.
You're not allowed to be empathetic in this business.
I guess not.
And you're not allowed to not be empathetic in this business.
By the way, before
talk hockey.
Before
Stop talking hockey.
We're
you don't know hockey.
We're going to talk to Jeff Joniak in a moment. But you know what? Tribute to Steve Rosenblum, colleague at the Tribune.
I love Steve.
He announced on Twitter this morning that he's going to stop writing columns at the Tribune, has some other projects he wants to pursue. Still will be on this radio station. But Steve Rosenblum, he's a guy who has his unique style.
My former story editor.
He's a former story editor.
Yes, he
and
was.
And certainly a tip of the cap to Rosie for all the years of...
Very
talented Tribune for
man.
22 years, since 1996.
God rest his newspaper career. No, we'll see.
The
Rosie.
King of Snark, and he says that, and he proudly wears the crown.
He's a great man, and as great men do, he will be fine.
Yeah, congratulations to him on a great run.
Yeah, no question about it. And congratulations to Ken Paxton. I know you were at the party last night.
Yeah, it was fun.
And Joe Knowles is stepping down at the Tribune, too.
Yeah,
so Joe,
a lot of changes there. And a lot going on. A lot of people got together at the Billy Goat last night. And it was fun to see, you know, Rick Tellender, Rick Morrissey. A lot of guys showed up. Sully, Casey.
I'd have been there had I not been driving around with various dance competition. And I also get up very early. So you can pull it off, David, but with my kids and all.
I don't have three teenagers.
Yeah,
you know, okay. I have one, and he is firmly ensconced in his dorm room. Sure, he is.
You know what I do most of the time? Not empathize with my children, because that's how I roll. And then later claim that I
God empathize. Forbid they tell you that, you know what, they had some anxiety over this test.
Yeah.
Dad.
Yeah. That's.
I heard you this morning on the radio, Dad. I'm afraid to tell you this.
You jerk. Everybody's angry at their dad. Isn't that part of childhood? Don't you have to?
That's a rite of passage.
That's okay.
You know?
All right. We'll talk to Jeff next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. And our bet has been decided. David, of course, been chirping at me all morning,
chirp,
Jeff.
Chirp, chirp.
Because the Loyola Ramblers lost to his Ball State, what do we call them, Redbirds?
No, they're the Cardinals.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
We're just calling them Redbirds.
The Cardinals.
David wore his Letterman jacket in yesterday, so... I had to buy breakfast, and you know how I am, Jeff. I'm not reliable in that. But Tavern at the Park, those guys are the best.
They're the best. Smells very good. Jeff, you're missing out.
Tavern at the Park and the Treehouse Connected, they have supplied us with their glorious brunch, which you can get every weekend day. I've been to it many times. Absolutely fantastic. So, Jeff, I know you're not downstairs or upstairs, wherever BBM is, just come in and we'll give you, you know, maybe an egg
well,
of some kind.
You know, next time, just give me a heads up, a little morning invite. You know, I might consider making the trek.
Yeah,
down, but you're right.
Explain to
you're
me
right
why do I have to pay for your breakfast because Haw's team beat my team? Come on, that's unfair, Jeff.
Because we're all good friends, buddy.
This
we're all
segment,
good friends, and you're right. You're right about the grub at Tavern, man.
Oh, it's
awesome.
The best. It's
awesome
absolutely
place.
The best. And this segment with Jeff Joniak brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free. And Jeff, my goodness gracious, they don't get any bigger. This is it, buddy. They get no bigger than this matchup. The Bears, a real measuring stick game against the Rams here on Sunday night.
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. And despite my efforts, and I'm sure others on the beat trying to get the players to frame this game, no bigger than the next one. No bigger than the last one. Matt Nagy's got him wired to not get overhyped about it. The blinders and earmuffs, that's the big term again this week. But you can't deny it. You got the national media descending upon the place. There's a lot more activity at Halas Hall. It's the final month of the season, and the L.A. Rams, the high-octane L.A. Rams with number 99 wreaking havoc on the defensive side of the ball, and Aaron Donald. Delicious matchups up and down. I think it's an awesome game for Sunday Night Football, from the coaches on the sidelines, the two older defensive coordinators, to the two young Buck, the head coaches are putting together the game plans for this one offensively, to the star players on both sides of the ball.
Delicious matchup. Now I am hungry. you know, I heard you last night with Tom on Bears All Access, Jeff, and I think he made a good point. He used the word scary to describe the Rams' interior. Mm-hmm. And I think when you look at Ndamukong Suh and you know, Aaron Donald, that's the right word to use. Which is scarier in your mind, though, the Rams' offense or the Rams' defense?
You know, I think it's the Rams' offense. Yeah, they're individually with Donald and, you know, Sue's, he can be a bad man. He can be a bad man on Sunday night, without question, and has done damage to the Bears over the years when he's played them in the division. But the offense is just highly difficult to deal with, highly difficult to contain. And, you know, it's interesting that it's been referred to as a simple but complex attack, because you've heard that about Nagy's system as well in learning it. So it'll be fun to watch the chess match, because there's a lot to deal with on that Rams offense, very much so. But, you know, some chinks in the armor a little bit with the quarterback, Jared Goff. He's given the ball up the last couple of games. It's fumbles and interceptions. Maybe could add a couple of pick sixes against Detroit as well, so with some bad throws. So maybe it's just that time of the year that teams are getting a beat on him a little bit, and I'm hoping that's the case on Sunday night.
What do you think of the interior of the Bears' offensive line and the challenge that they face against this team?
Monster challenge, Mike. Not going to lie. Monster challenge. Cody Whitehair's been consistent inside. Brian Witzman's come along. But, you know, the Aaron Donald angle, with whether it's against the rookie James Daniels or putting him against Witzman, you know, you may be able to stop him at times, but you're not going to – no one stopped him an entire game. I know his first three games of the year, he only had one quarterback hit and no sacks. So he's got himself in a real rhythm right now. Think about that. In the last nine games, he's got 16 and a half sacks and 31 hits on the quarterback. So no one has stopped him. So I don't know why you would think the Bears are going to completely stop him as well. So it'll be interesting how the Bears attack him, because they move him all over the line of scrimmage as well. He's not just going to be in one place. And Wade Phillips has done a good job with those guys up front. And while he's good, he's great, and an MVP candidate, let alone Defensive Player of the Year candidate, you got to deal with Sue, and he's a monster. He doesn't always play hard, which I've always rapped him on. I don't love that player. But then Michael Brockers is a first-round pick who gets ignored. He is also a very good defender up front. You got two outstanding corners that you could try and challenge, and you should try and challenge. One's got an ankle. One's coming off a high ankle and surgery. So they only played 26 snaps since week four in Aqib Talib. The rest of it, you know, I think you can deal with, but that's the part you have to stop.
Great matchup of play callers, Jeff, with Sean McVay and Matt Nagy. How do you expect Nagy to approach this? Does he try to, you know, be as creative and match the Rams possession for possession, or does he try to bleed the clock and maybe go against the grain a little bit in being more conservative just to keep that offense off the field?
I'd bleed the clock if I can and keep that offense off the field. That would be my approach, with great balance and a real dedication as also to running the football, because Seattle did it twice. They put up big numbers, 270 yards in one game. Teams have run the ball on them, because when they get the ball, they don't give it up. They rarely turn it over. They also don't get themselves in a real tough position. So they have outstanding time of possession on their own. Very few three and outs, so your defense is going to be on the field a long time if you're facing the Rams. I don't feel they think they need to get into a Kansas City game and just light it up with 50 points against the Bears. And there you have a quarterback that we don't know how he's going to play on Sunday after missing a couple of games. So I would try and keep the ball as much as possible and keep that offense off the field.
And Jeff, we don't know how their quarterback's going to play. I mean, if you look at him, he's like 30 points worse on the road than he is at home. The Bears, of course, lead the league in holding quarterbacks, uh, quarter quarterback rating low. I mean, it's, what is it, 78-something, which is 5 points lower than anybody else in the NFL. And, yeah, I hate to say this because people get mad about bear weather stuff and all that, but he's a California kid coming on the road in a Midwestern city at night. It's all those things could add up to a long night for Jared Goff.
Yeah, his lowest quarterback rating was the Denver game, and it was cold, and it snowed, and they gave it to Gurley for 200-plus yards. So maybe that'll be in the mindset of Sean McVay as well. And Goff, you know, he's got smaller hands, so he's given up the ball a couple of times here. You got Mac. You know, he's going to be difficult for them to deal with as well, and I really, truly believe, I know I said it last week too, or I don't know, maybe I did or didn't, but I did on the radio, that Leonard Floyd is coming. He's about to have a big game. He's just been making too many strides in that regard, and he's feeling really good right now. He's in a groove himself, and I just think the combination of those guys and Akeem Hicks up front could really, you know, speed up the clock on Jared Goff as well. So you are right. That variable is significant in this particular matchup here with Goff coming into Soldier Field. And I know Tom Thayer's been hitting his knees every night, praying to Mother Nature. Just keep dropping that thermometer.
All righty,
Jeff. Thanks,
Jeff. We appreciate it.
And great call on the Hicks touchdown.
Oh, thank you, brother. That was fun. I think we'll see more.
Were Hicks touchdowns?
Defense. Defensive guys coming in. You never know.
Yeah. Maybe he throws the ball next time.
That feels like a prediction, and you don't like to make those. All right, buddy.
See you, Jeff.
All right. See ya.
Take care. That's Jeff Jodiak. He's our guy. Great stuff from him. Yeah, it's all making a prediction.
You're going to change your pick, Mully? Sounds like you're making a case.
He's making a case.
It's
been hard for me not to make a case, but I also have to stand by my convictions, buddy. I can't, like you, just pick up the pom-poms and jump on the bandwagon.
What was Dustin's reaction when he said Leonard Floyd's coming?
Oh, Dustin has a look of absolute disgust.
He's too busy eating breakfast.
Yeah, breakfast is here, Joe. Okay. Get out here. All right, buddy.
In a minute.
Don't let Bernstein have any.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. Good morning, Michael. How are you?
Mike. What's going on, guys? How are you?
We're all pumped up. Obviously, here we are in Chicago watching the Bears. You got the Rams coming in. Hopefully, the weather's bad. And you got a measuring stick for the Bears. We know who the real good teams are, and we don't know if the Bears are just outside that group or maybe busting their way in. So hopefully this will tell us something.
Yeah, and I think that it will. Look, even though the Bears are 8-4 and you just put record against record and you say, well, they're in a different category altogether than the Rams. Look, there are several of those games, and you guys have plowed this ground. The Bears could have won really all of the four games that they lost. And this is one of those games where everybody's going to be focused. Everyone's going to be prepared. Trubisky's going to be back. And this is a great opportunity. And because, but the last I saw the forecast, what, upper 20s, something like that, the Rams struggled a little bit with the Broncos when they played in cold earlier this year. I think the table is set very nicely for the Bears to take a little chunk out of the Rams. Doesn't mean the Bears are destined to get to the NFC Championship game or get to the Super Bowl, but I think they can. They can keep up with the Rams. They can slow that offense down just enough, and the Bears offense can do just enough against the suspect Rams defense, to come out on the right side of this. I've already made my official pick. I think the Bears are going to win.
Wow. That's against
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Game more. And are these two guys that are having more than just a great year, are these generational talents?
It really is amazing to see these two guys. And the Rams had dodged the bullet earlier this year when the Raiders dumped Mac right before the start of the season. And I think Sean McVay pointed out, well, even though we're not seeing him now, we're going to see him later. And now they get their chance to see him. And it really is incredible to see a guy, both guys who came in the same year. Mac was the 5th overall pick. Donald went out of the top 10. And Donald's getting the MVP buzz right now. And there's more and more people who are getting on board with this idea that maybe Donald should be the MVP. He's 1.5 sacks short of the record for interior defensive linemen in a single season. Keith Millard set that with Minnesota in 89. And 6 sacks short of Michael Strahan's asterisk single season record because he had that gift from Brett Favre that put him at 22.5. And, you know, if Donald sets the record, I think it makes it easier to vote for him for MVP. And, you know, I've suggested that maybe the voters, if they're determined to vote for a Ram, instead of splitting the votes and diluting the votes between Donald and Todd Gurley and Jared Goff, just everybody line up and vote for Aaron Donald or vote for Todd Gurley. Pick a guy who's the MVP, because otherwise it's going to create an opening for Drew Brees or Patrick Mahomes if you start splitting votes among multiple Rams players. But Mac and Donald, the best two defensive players in the NFL right now, all due respect to J.J. Watt. But I think Mac could impact the game more because I feel like Mac has more help around him. And what Mac's presence, look what it's done for Akeem Hicks. And I don't sense that the guys around Aaron Donald have benefited the same way that and have stepped up the same way that the guys around Mac have.
I thought it was interesting to hear Todd Gurley say that, you know, he finished 22 yards behind Kareem Hunt and say that that was okay with him last year. And then he admits this year, you know what, I really want to win the rushing title. I really wanted that. How good is he? How good will he be against this Bears defense? And is this one of the biggest challenges that this offense is facing?
Well, you know, in the Rams' last high-profile game, that Monday nighter nearly 3 weeks ago against the Chiefs, Gurley disappeared relative to what he usually does. It turns out he had an ankle injury, but then when they came out of their bye, he wasn't on the injury report. So I don't know what the issue really was with Gurley, and will he step up in this big spot? Look, it feels inevitable that he's going to get his yards, he's going to catch passes, he's going to make things happen for that Rams offense, but, you know, he's not quite at the level Marshall Faulk once was for the Rams back when they were in St. Louis, but he is one of the best running backs in the game right now, and with Le'Veon Bell sidelined for the full year, then maybe Gurley is the top guy. And I like that he's being candid, but you know, how many times do we hear guys say they don't care about the individual achievements, it's about what the team does? And when a guy starts making a comment like that publicly, that's when he opens himself up for criticism about whether he's really all in with the team's goals. And I assume he is, but would you rather get to the Super Bowl and win it, or would you rather be the leading rusher of all NFL running backs? I think that the obvious answer should be you want your team to go to the Super Bowl and win, regardless of how many yards you add to your own personal statistics.
This segment with Mike Florio is brought to you by Webb Ford. Searching for a great deal on Fords in Chicago? Visit Webb Ford in Highland, Indiana. Mike, so the Chiefs get Kelvin Benjamin, who's cut by the Bills. Is this a case of a great offense getting a Josh Gordon-like boost, or is he going to even play any sort of role down the stretch?
I think the smart move is to take the next 4 weeks to get Kelvin Benjamin up to speed, to find something he can do for that team. Red zone threat, alternative to Travis Kelce when they get down close to the end zone, and then unleash him in the postseason. You know, my argument all along for Dez Bryant, once he didn't sign with the team for week one, just wait until Thanksgiving. Wait to find which team is going to best fit you. And he kind of did that with New Orleans and promptly got injured. But Benjamin at least has been playing. There have been some issues with him. The Bills just decided, look, it's not worth it. We're moving on. And we'll see what Andy Reid and the coaching staff there can do to get through to him. And to get, because when he's locked in, when he's in the right kind of shape, he really can contribute at a high level. But his career has not been stellar. He had 1,000 receiving yards as a rookie, tore the ACL in training camp the following year, and has never been back to that same level of production. He was close in 2016, but the last 2 years have really fallen off. And I think anything the Chiefs get out of this guy will be a bonus. And you know, we've seen Sammy Watkins with a foot problem for much of the past several weeks. Maybe this is a hedge against the possibility that Watkins can't contribute like they need him to. But when you have all those other weapons, there's a chance Kelvin Benjamin's going to be running around wide open. And he's a big target, big body, 6'5". And we know that Patrick Mahomes can put the ball wherever he needs to put it. So, you know, any other team, I'd be very, very skeptical. With the Chiefs, it's like, well, you know what? If they're doing this, they got a plan, and chances are the plan's going to work.
Mike, it was heartily depressing to hear the interview with Elisa Ennis on ABC's Good Morning America. She was the ex-girlfriend of Reuben Foster and talked about what she went through and how she lied for him because she was in love with him, and she learned through therapy that that's not love, and she said she was shocked that he was signed. And now, obviously, the Kareem Hunt situation comes up. This is a really black eye for the NFL to have issues like this, and to have the Washington Redskins claim the player. That was just – and it just is going to resonate with people.
Mike Tirico had a great suggestion over the weekend that when a player is on the commissioner exempt list, everything should freeze, and he can't be cut. If he's cut, he can't be claimed on waivers, because we created, the NFL created for itself through what Washington did, four or five more days of coverage of Reuben Foster, given the fact that Washington claimed him, and they're paying him to not play. I mean, think about that. They are cutting him a check every week to just have him available for some point in the future, once he serves out whatever suspension the NFL is going to impose on him, to be available to play. And now this disclosure that the recanting of the allegation of domestic violence from the February incident was false, and this is not abnormal behavior when you're talking about a domestic violence relationship, and the victim will try to protect the accused. That's a common dynamic. But from the NFL's perspective, if the victim in this case is motivated to cooperate, because the NFL can't force anyone to cooperate, but if she's now motivated to cooperate, and if she does cooperate, and she tells a compelling story of domestic violence from February and a separate incident from last month, then Reuben Foster is looking at two separate suspensions and baseline of six games for each one, with potential aggravating circumstances pushing one or both of them beyond six games. So the NFL, if they really want to drop the hammer on Reuben Foster, and Elisa Ennis is determined to cooperate to try to get whatever form of justice she can, it could end up being a very long time until we see Reuben Foster on a field. And, you know, one of these guys at some point is going to cross the line and the NFL is going to banish them for life. And I'm not saying that Reuben Foster is the one, but at some point they're going to do it. Now, it was a de facto lifetime banishment that was imposed on Ray Rice, but I'm talking about the NFL at some point coming out and saying, you have forfeited forever the privilege of playing professional football. There are thousands of other guys who want to do it, who don't get in trouble. You are no longer eligible to do so. Get out of here. And I feel like at some point the NFL needs to do that if they want to send the right message to the public, to the media, to anyone who's paying attention, that they really do take this seriously. Jerry Jones used the term zero tolerance last week as it relates to domestic violence. He gave Greg Hardy a job. I mean, he doesn't know what zero tolerance means, or he thinks people are going to assume that the NFL really does believe that, when the way the NFL teams have behaved tells us otherwise.
This segment brought to you by Bet Chicago. For betting and fantasy football coverage, download the app today and bet for free.
Mike, before we let you go, I thought Green Bay did a remarkable thing yesterday, letting Mike McCarthy back in the building, and maybe it was Wednesday, and to address his team. He got a standing ovation. How surprising was that? And what is their timetable? Do you think that they, you know, they're getting an early start? What does that really mean in terms of coaching search in Green Bay?
Well, you know, what it means is it's not awkward when they start reaching out to agents and intermediaries to see who's going to be interested, because they do that anyway. But if it gets out, then it looks really bad if you still have your head coach. And it gives Mike McCarthy a chance to see whether or not he wants to coach the Browns or the Jets or any other job that's out there. There's going to be a run on offensive coaches this cycle, and the fact that McCarthy's an offensive coach should help. And as that standing ovation, I can't help but wonder whether or not it was – and I don't want to take anything away from it, but haven't we all been in a spot where, like – we're at a show or something, and everyone else is standing up, and you're like, oh, God, do I really have to stand up? Like, who was the last guy to stand up? Was Rogers. Aaron Rodgers rolling his eyes?
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, really? Oh, I really don't want to stand up. But I think it's a nice gesture that doesn't fully balance the indignity of firing the guy abruptly at the end of a game. But, you know, they did what they thought they had to do. And I really wonder how attractive that job is. I really do wonder. We have run a poll question this week on our Twitter account. We talked about it on PFT Live multiple times. And the consensus I've reached is the Browns' job right now is viewed as a better job than the Packers. And really, how desirable is the Packers' job when, as the head coach, you have to find a way to reach the right relationship with Aaron Rodgers? Do you go too hard? Do you go too easy? How do you get that sweet spot where you get the most out of the guy? That's going to be the challenge for whoever takes that job.
And which division is easier to win?
I think right now the AFC North.
I would agree with that. That's why that's not outrageous.
And also, if you win in Cleveland, you know, if you win in Green Bay, the best you can be is the next Lombardi. If you go to Cleveland and win, you are Lombardi. They're going to build a statue. They're going to start pouring the bronze for the statue, or however they build. I guess they pour. I don't know what they do, but they're going to start building the damn thing out of whatever material they use. Yeah, as soon as the game ends, when you win the Super Bowl, if you ever pull that off. So I think there's a and Baker Mayfield on the front end of his career, showing all the signs of being a franchise quarterback. One thing to keep an eye on. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I think there will at least be some exploration by the Packers, the Browns, maybe even the Jets, to finagle a current head coach from another team. Right? That rarely happens, but this could be the year where one of these teams can catch the interest of a guy who's currently coaching as head coach another NFL team and work out that trade. It's not technically a trade, but it's compensation, draft picks, cash, whatever, like John Gruden to the Buccaneers after his original stint with the Raiders. Keep an eye on something like that bubbling up.
Hmm. Mike, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Guys.
That is Mike Florio. Always a joy to talk to you.
You like
it?
You think Cleveland's cool?
Yeah, Cleveland the better
Stay away from Matt Nagy.
That's crazy.
No trade here.
All right, now comes our fun time. We bring in Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight, and we spar a little bit with the stories of the day.
That we're doing? Are we sparring?
We got a little bit of a little kind of back and forth thing going, and yeah, a lot of fun every morning. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.